Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going with this series on Islam and the Quran. And we're going to continue where we left off yesterday, where we were talking about witnessing to Muslims and various tips that may help us when we're trying to lead our Muslim friends or family or co-workers to Christ. And so with that, let's go ahead and jump right in. More things you can talk to your Muslim friend about is some of the various prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about Jesus. Again, check out my series on the evidence for the divine inspiration of the Bible. There's amazing prophecies throughout the Old Testament that just flat out show you God's divine hand in the writing of that book. Okay. For example, take them to Isaiah 53. Read it together with them. Better yet, have them read it. I know a lot of apologists out there, they're like, you know, make them read it. You know what? Pretty darn awkward when somebody says, read this. Okay. I've been witnessing to Muslims before and Mormons before where they say, well, why don't you read this out loud? And you're like, oh, come on, man. And you read it out loud. It kind of puts you in an awkward situation because as you're reading it, they're thinking about what their next move's going to be. All right. Yeah, you can use that on people when you're witnessing to them, but I kind of feels like a used car salesman. Okay. It just sounds like it just doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel right to me. And so I don't like using tactics that don't feel natural and don't feel right. Right. If you have had success doing that and you really like it and you feel cool with it, fine. Whatever. You can read it together. It doesn't matter. However you want to do it. You can read it to them and periodically stop and ask questions. However you think it feels more natural and right to you, go for it. But Isaiah 53, if you're not familiar with it, I'm going to read it real quick. One of the most amazing prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. It actually starts in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13. It starts and says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and is for more than the sons of men. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I guess I should make some points here. I already mentioned this during the series, but Muslims, A, do not believe that Jesus died on the cross. They believe that somebody else that looked like him took his place on the cross, most likely Judas. Okay, secondly, Jesus didn't die for our sins, obviously, from point number one. They also don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Huh, that's interesting. So that's going to be a big sticking point, too. They also don't believe that Jesus is God. And so when you take them to prophecies like this in the Old Testament, and we'll look at a few more, there's concepts here in the Old Testament, written even long before the New Testament, obviously, where we see these concepts of crucifixion, of this Messiah suffering for our sins so that we can be made clean. So hear this out. This is so good. This is good to share with Muslims. This is a great passage, a whole chapter. An amazing chapter to share with Jews, too. And so, anyway, yeah, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Wow. The kings, I mean, what is that? So he shall sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider. And so chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall show up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. So we're talking about Jesus. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Guys, Muslims have no concept of this. None. They have no concept of forgiveness, of propitiation, of the atonement. They don't understand forgiveness. They don't see it in a biblical worldview. Okay, forgiveness to them is doing enough good deeds to offset the scales of Allah and doing more good deeds than bad deeds, basically tipping those scales so that Allah allows you in. They do not understand this concept of God himself coming down and dying in our place. A just God, a righteous God, in, on one hand, who punishes sin and must bring justice to this world. And yet, on the other hand, a God that is so loving that in order to bring justice, he will live a perfect life in the flesh of a human being and then die in our place, taking the punishment we deserve. They don't get that. And so as best as we can, we want to try and get that in their mind, really share that with them. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for a lot of you trying to share this concept because they just don't see it. It's going to take a while. And so anyway, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Verse 6, and we like sheep have gone astray. Ain't that the truth? We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb. Okay. King James. Gotta love it. That does not mean Jesus was dumb. Okay. What they're talking about is he was silent. In the New Testament, when you hear that somebody was dumb, it means that they were quiet. They weren't opening their mouth. Okay. They might have been mute. Okay, so he didn't say anything. As a sheep before his shears is dumb. He didn't say anything. So he opened not his mouth, it says. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? In other words, he didn't have any kids, guys. He didn't get married. He didn't have kids. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. You see this concept over and over and over of this suffering Savior. They don't have a concept of a Savior. This suffering Savior taking our sins upon himself. In verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. That in itself is a prophecy. Jesus was buried with the rich. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Okay, now we're talking about us. His seed, that's us. That's the church. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I'm sorry if you can hear the smile in my voice. Jesus bore our iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. When he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Wow. Okay, amazing. Share that with your Muslim friends. How about this one? This is an amazing picture of what crucifixion looks like, but it's in the Psalms. And it's funny, too, if you read this to just any old person, well, if somebody's been exposed to the Bible in some way, exposed to the gospel, if you read this Psalm, Psalm 22, verse 12 through 18, they're immediately going to think it's from the New Testament. If you ask them, what is this? They're going to say, that, you know, basically they're going to think that's a scripture from the New Testament about Jesus being crucified. But here's the thing. It's in the Psalms. Psalms chapter 22, verse 12 through 18. It says, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like the potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Now get this. Verse 16, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. All right, so several things. They pierce my hands and my feet. That's probably the most obvious there. They part my garments. Okay, we know in the New Testament they were casting lots. Some of the soldiers were casting lots for Jesus' clothes. All right, and it's not because he had designer clothes. Word of faithers. It's just the clothes were hard to come by. They didn't have a Walmart back then. I know. How do you live without Walmart? But anyway, bad joke. Anyway, you have his tongue cleaveth to the roof of his mouth, as in he was thirsty. All right. You see here that none of his bones were broken, but they were out of joint, which is exactly what happened. His heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of his bowels. So, and he's compassed round about by a bunch of dogs and bulls, okay? Different analogies here. He's got dogs around him. That's probably referring to the thieves and murderers that were around him on other crosses. But then he's surrounded by these bulls of Bashan. And that's most likely referring to the Roman soldiers. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round and about. So anyway, a good picture of crucifixion. Another one that you can take them to, Zechariah 12:10. All right, and guys, these are scriptures talking about Jesus being crucified in the Old Testament. All right, they don't believe in the crucifixion. And we're taking them to the Old Testament, showing them that. By the way, also, if you want to get studied up, check out my series on the evidence for the resurrection. We talk about many of these subjects and so much more. Other ways that you can show these Muslims that, A, Jesus was crucified, and we can even look at secular sources, people who are not believers, talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, and also Christian sources, men and women who were willing to die because they saw Jesus himself being crucified And then they saw him alive again in a resurrected, glorified body. And they were willing to die horrible, painful, martyr deaths because they knew it was the truth. It's one thing to believe in the Quran and Muhammad and Allah and then die for that cause. Okay, that's one thing. But to actually see him on the cross and then see him alive, now you know. Okay, these people knew whether this was true or false. They knew it, and they were willing to die horrible deaths because they had that conviction. They saw it with their own eyes. Check out that series. I talk about a bunch of different stuff concerning the resurrection and the crucifixion. It definitely can help out. So Zechariah 12, verse 10, check this out. This is amazing because it not only speaks of the fact that the Messiah had his hands and feet pierced, but it connects the Messiah with God. Look at this. I will pour out, and this is God speaking, okay, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. Wait, what? They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, but yet, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son. Where have we heard that before? And shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They shall, I'm just reading that again, just let it sink in, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So God himself is speaking, and he's saying, me, you pierced me. When was God pierced? I'll tell you when. When he was on the cross, when he willingly gave himself up as a perfect, sinless, by the way, Muslims will acknowledge that Jesus lived a sinless life, a sinless sacrifice. And check this out. This is from Zechariah as well. It's Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. And this is God speaking. And he says, and I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. Notice he said, my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for me my price, 30 pieces of silver. And in verse 13, and the Lord, this is Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay, this is God. This is the Father in heaven. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I, who's speaking? God is. A goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Okay, couple things here. If you guys didn't notice, this is God speaking, and he says, I was priced out at 30 pieces of silver. Sound familiar? Jesus was priced at 30 pieces of silver. And then it says, cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. The potter's field, that's what the 30 pieces of silver were used to purchase. Judas threw the money back into the temple. And then it was used then to purchase this field, this potter's field. Okay, so amazing. God himself is equating himself to Jesus and saying that he, God, was priced at 30 pieces of silver. And so what we're trying to do is show them various scriptures in the Old Testament that equate God the Father with Jesus. Also, showing your Muslim friend these different aspects of Jesus predicted in the Old Testament and showing parts of his character that are divine in nature. And so, that, you know, that's about as far as I'm going to go with that, guys. I don't want to make this too long, but you get my point. Again, check out my series on the evidence for the divine inspiration of the Bible. I talk about many prophecies concerning Jesus and, well, just, you know, for the rest of the Bible as well. Because, again, the Bible wasn't corrupted. The Bible is amazingly, it's intact, it's accurate, it's 100% inspired of God. It is God speaking through the lips and the hands of men, okay? Men driven by the Holy Spirit wrote down every word of the Bible. It is fully from God, yet it is spoken, it is written down through the mind, through the character, through the different people that were in the Bible. And so anyway, yes, we want to take them to the Old Testament. We want to take them to the New Testament. And friends, we want to show them who the true Jesus is. Come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. And there, guys, you can leave comments and questions. I do want to talk to you guys. Also, you can catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.